Hey everybody, it's me, Bonnie, your host of the Grieving Girl podcast, and today we have my first ever grief TikTok friend, Ashley, joining us from the West Coast, which is so fierce. My first West Coast podcast guest. So, everybody give it up for Ashley. We'll insert some applause.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going today?
I'm doing all right, thank you. I'm so excited to be here and doing this.
Yes. So for those of my listeners who are like, but who's Ashley, Bonnie? Like, where did you find Ashley? TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok's been great
Tik
to form connections.
Yeah, we love grief talk. We love TikTok.
100%.
And I'm very honored that you were like, yeah, girl, I'll do this podcast because you're doing the TikTok grief fluencer thing, and I'm so here for it. And it's so important. So I'm very honored that you were willing to join me at 5 o'clock on Halloween to chat about grief. So I guess we could start with who are you grieving? If you want to share like your story, your circumstances, that would be good, but also it's not necessary if you don't want to.
Yeah, so I started posting on TikTok almost 2 years ago now when I was alone and feeling alone going through COVID, locked up in Washington State. That was like one of my first obstacles, but I was also grieving both my mom and dad, who were my number one supporters and everything, my best friends for everything, who I very suddenly and tragically lost. In an impaired driving, I don't even call it an accident. People make choices to drive impaired, so it was a very unfortunate and tragic car crash. They were on the side of the road helping my brother, who had they went to pick him up from his hydroplaning accident, and while on the side of the road, an impaired driver rear-ended them, and so I lost like my biggest support system. And going through COVID, and I was away at college, so I didn't have anybody, I didn't know anybody. So I just started posting to TikTok, and I'm like, you know what? What is my handle gonna be? My handle is gonna be Real Life Real Thoughts, because that's exactly what I'm sharing. So that's exactly out there doing the grief talk thing. But I share the good, the bad, the ugly, because I think it's grief is definitely a roller coaster of all those kinds of things. You can feel happy and excited, and then you can feel guilty about being happy and excited, then you're sad all over again. And I just thought that there was a space out there on TikTok that not many people were doing. And so I, in my own efforts to comfort myself and just try to make it through, I just started posting whatever I wanted. And that's not like me. But that is definitely how you and I connected. Because I was like, oh, grieving girl, who's this? I need to surround myself with people who may also be going through something similar.
Absolutely. Yeah, I find your story very relatable in just the way of like, it seemed like you were very close to your parents. And I was very close to my mom. I mean, my dad obviously is dead, but he died 20 years ago. I almost like, at this point, I'm like, do I remember him? Is it like selective memory? Is it like I've curated this memory? I don't even know because I was 14 and I'm like, you're so little when you're 14. You kind of just forget. Like you look at a 14-year-old and you're like, oh, they're a teenager, but I'm like, oh, their brain is so tiny. Like it's not even, it's just different. So there are many times where you're sharing like your very vulnerable emotional posts where I'm like, I totally fucking get it when it comes to just like missing the people who were like your rock. And you know, I think that that's lucky of us to have had that kind of relationship because I also, you know, you talk to people who have parents who have died suddenly traumatically and they were estranged or it was like a strained, you know, relationship. And that brings on different other layers of grief. But I think that that's also why I kind of gravitated to a lot of your posts because I was kind of feeling like I always say in relation to my mom's death of like, it was like she went out for gas and never came back is what I always find myself saying. Like that's, She was like, "All right, I'll be back in 5 minutes," and like just didn't
Very,
come back.
yes, very similar. So I was not with my parents that day. I was away at college, but like my mom left her coffee on the table. My dad left a snack. The TV was on, dishes in the sink, clothes in the dryer. It's like they went out that day. We'll be right back. I've made several videos about you never know, and people say tomorrow's never promised. And I just kind of was like, well, today's never promised. They left at somewhere around 7:30 in the morning, thinking, we'll be right back. We're just gonna go pick him up from the side of the road. You know, his car's in the ditch totaled. We'll be right back. And they never came back. And so that's a totally relatable feeling, unfortunately, to very few. But I'm glad we've found each other, and I'm glad that your videos have helped me and my videos have helped other people. But something else that you said in there I want to touch on about, you know, you're saying like, do I even remember him? Is it selective memory because you were so young? I am struggling so hard in not wanting to become that. So a lot of what I share has also been VHS tapes that I transferred to DVDs, and I was going through them. And I love sharing who they were because that's all I have now. But also a subtle underlying motive there is like, I want to go through these because I don't want to forget what they sounded like. I don't want to forget what they looked like. And sometimes it just gets me all choked up because it's like I lost my grandma like 10 years ago, and I forget how like a hug felt from her, and I forget what she sounded like, and you forget, and I'm like, I cannot let that happen for myself with my parents. I don't want to forget. So I just share a range of things on there.
You have definitely planted the seed a few times of like, I have a VHS player and I have all of our family tapes where I'm like, I need to go through those. There was one day my sister was actually here and I was like, let's just play VHS roulette. And we put in one and it was like a random Christmas. And like, that was like a little tough, but it was mostly us watching ourselves. And then we heard my dad talk and I looked at her. I was like, is that what he sounded like? Like in my head, nothing the same. It was like nothing remotely the same. So you have inspired me and planted a seed to like start to go through them. That's something where I'm like, I think I'll have a hard time, but it's also like, that's our lives, right? Like, all we now have are VHS and pictures.
Yeah, I
So
think
it's
that's
like,
very
if you
important.
want to hear them and, you know, feel their energy, it's like you almost like have to watch your videos or like listen to voicemails, which my mom got me a brand new phone right before she died, and my iCloud did not back up. So I have not a voicemail.
Oh,
Not one.
I'm so
I know. I blame Apple. Let's just,
sorry.
you know. It's Apple, it's all your fault. You've ruined it for me.
I think I never really had a gap in between losing my parents and watching the first videos of them. And so it was like a continuation, but I know that a lot of people have commented on my videos of like how brave I am to go through the videos and pictures, thousands of pictures. My mom took thousands of pictures every year. And you know, some people say like they just can't go through it. They have a shoebox. And that's okay. If you're not ready to go through it yet, just know that they're always there for you. But I would still highly recommend getting the VHS tapes transferred over to at least DVDs or a thumb drive or something, because the quality definitely deteriorates after 30 some odd years. But they'll be there for you when you're ready for them. And it's difficult for sure. But it's also a beautiful thing that they found that moment important enough to take a video or a picture, because they wanted somebody to remember it.
Right, it's their point of view. That's a beautiful way of looking at VHS and pictures of like that's how your parents were seeing you in your youth or whatever. That's very pretty. Do you think that like when you were watching the VHS to the thumb drive, did you feel like the quality got weird or just in general, like the VHS, you were like, oh,
No,
these are
it was
not great.
100%. Whatever was on the VHS tape got transferred, and it's the actual tape of the VHS that is deteriorating over the years. Like some of the videos, they started back I think it was my parents' wedding was the first one, somewhere around 88, 89. They got married in 89, but I think the first video that I have is from 88. And that's a long time ago. So the tape from technology in the 80s
Right.
deteriorates. So whatever you have on there gets perfectly transferred, but
But the quality overall
but
sucks.
the
And
quality
I'm
isn't
like,
the great.
we definitely have one from like 1983 down in my basement. So maybe I'll start. Maybe I'll take a deep breath and just do it. Maybe I'll just send them in without launching them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see how it goes.
I
That's
mean,
also a
you
choice.
never know though. You might get back a random taping of Dr.
Yeah.
Phil or Oprah or something. Days of Archives. I definitely got a couple of those back. And it's like, why is this here on our childhood video?
'Cause someone was like, "Oh crap, I'm gonna miss it." Record. The good old days. Okay, so with all of that, the holidays are coming up. How do you find the holidays to get through? Are you someone who's like, I bake all these different recipes and it just makes me feel really warm and like my parents are here? Or are you someone who's like, I literally don't decorate, I don't partake in any religious things because it just makes me sad?
I still participate. Each year varies because each year is different. People say the year of firsts is hard. I kind of think the year of seconds is the hardest. Not that I have much experience after that. I'm approaching the third set of holidays. But the year of firsts, you're just tunnel vision. It's so fresh that you don't really think about it. I mean, you're thinking about it, but not too much. So I didn't do a whole lot because you're trying to figure out your new normal. What does it look like? What does it feel like? And everybody's just sort of grieving together, if you're lucky. But the year of seconds was more so for me, trying to keep their memories alive. So the year of seconds and second round of holidays. For Thanksgiving, my mom did these like chocolate chip cookies and she had Reese's peanut butter cups and Hershey kisses for like a little turkey head and then
Cute.
candy corns for like turkey feathers. And so that second year, I attempted to make those and brought them to our Thanksgiving on my dad's side. And it was just a beautiful thing of like, oh, these are Karen's cookies. And
Yeah.
it just brings their memory alive and has an opening to talking about them in a positive way rather than talking and thinking about them in a negative way as if obviously they're not here, but instead of like, oh, we wish we were here, which is very true,
Right.
you're still thinking about like, she made these cookies. And even though she's not here anymore, her memory is still here and alive because of what she started.
Yeah.
So my mother and I really bonded over a lot of things, but the holidays were certainly one of them, and decorating and being very big and festive. So I have continued that, but it is difficult. It is difficult when you enter the store and you want to go look at decorations, but you're doing it alone and you don't have your person. To do that with. So it is difficult sometimes, harder than others. But then I just, when you're done, you just sit back and you look at maybe whatever you decorated or made, and it just feels warm and maybe happy. Sometimes it's mixed emotions, but that's okay.
Yeah. I want to chat with what we kind of said earlier when we weren't recording about like there are moments where it's okay to be sad
Yeah, absolutely.
during the happy time, even when you're like with groups of people. Like, it's okay if you're like, I need to remove myself for a moment
Yes.
and have a moment. So, what's your take on like feeling your feelings?
I definitely used to be a person that was bottle it up, put it aside, don't acknowledge it. But after losing my mom and dad, and it's just such a big of loss, I have come to grow and realize and learn that it's really important to acknowledge your feelings when they're happening. And if you're around people that don't understand that, then maybe they shouldn't be around you in the first place, because people who care about you will understand why you're feeling, or at least maybe they won't understand, but they'll at least care enough to try to understand. Like, okay, this is like a really big thing that's happening. Whether a commercial that just comes on and it reminded you of them and you start breaking down because it's the holidays and just everything is maybe a trigger. It's okay to cry or be excited or feel a wide range of emotions, because we're human and we are built to have those kinds of emotions. And I think it's okay.
Have you ever had anybody do the oh, but they would want you to blank, or they when you were really not feeling it, or you're like, I am aware, like, no, everyone knows that they'd want me to be happy. I find that to be like wildly annoying.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm like, do you feel like that? Have you ever had an experience where you're like, no, like literally I didn't want to go, and someone was like, come on, I'll just take you, where it just like heightens almost the anxiety and the grief.
Where something is, you're anxious or stressed and depressed, and then you're just like hyper aware if you're forced to go somewhere. It's like, yes, of course they would want me to be happy, and of course they would want me to go and do these things, but right now I'm sad and I don't want to.
Right. Yeah, I find that I have a lot of like listeners or watchers who aren't necessarily grieving big loss yet, or they tuned in because we talked about infertility or estranged relationships or whatever. And so I always like to give like, if you're the support system or if you're the other people who are like, well, we just want them to come and blah, 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 that to just kind of reiterate of like, sometimes you just have to listen to people, especially grieving people. And if they're saying like, I really don't want to come, or like, it's too hard for me, that you almost like have to, it's not about you. And like, yeah, maybe you're sad that like your person's not going to come, but like, we all know that there's a timeline on the intensity of grief where like, on the it gets easier with time thing annoys me.
No, it
I'm
doesn't.
like, the intensity level just might, it's like a knob, it's like a volume knob, and I feel like slowly the volume goes down a little bit, but there's always like, you can always turn it back up again. So the intensity on that timeline of the grieving friend maybe like not being able to do something, like it will, there will be a time where someone will be brave and show up or feel like it's time that they can do it, but like you just have to listen. I don't feel like there's enough listening in the world. So when someone's like, no, I really don't want to come, it's okay for them to.
I think it takes a lot to say no, that you don't want to do something, that you don't want to go. And so if you have a friend that's saying, no, I actually don't want to go, the grieving person understands that you want them to go. That like the grieving person understands the people who thought they were going to be there are going to be like, hey, where are they? It takes a lot to change your mind and say, no, I don't want to go. So it would be important to validate and try to understand those feelings that the grieving person is going through and not force them to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you, besides like the cookies, I know you said you're like big decorators, did you have any like big traditions with your parents that you do find hard to continue? There's no bad answer. You can be like, actually, no, I do it all still.
I think the thing that I struggle with most is the things that I don't get to do anymore with them. There's not any tradition that I struggle with continuing. It's just non-existent. And I said like I was away at college, but when I came back home, I came back home. I hadn't technically like moved out yet. So when I came home, I just came back to my room. So during the holidays, I would come back home. And the thing that I always looked forward most to is going and getting a big Christmas tree and being out there with the family. The thing that I miss the most are those, the time together and the things that we did together. Sure, I can do that with somebody else. Sure, I can do it on my own. But what I miss most is doing it with them. And that's what I find most challenging. And like going out and getting a big Christmas tree, like we had 18-foot ceilings in our living room.
Wow.
And I wanted big Christmas trees. I love big Christmas trees. And one year we got like a 23-foot tree and we had to chop off like the bottom 5 feet once we realized that it wasn't going to fit. But it's things like that. Like these past 3 years, I haven't been able to have a Christmas tree because I can't do it on my own. So not only do I not have my big Christmas tree, I don't have a tree.
Yeah.
So it has nothing really to do with the tree. The tree itself.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't get to go out with my mom and pick out a tree. I don't get to nag my brother and my dad and hear them complain out in a field in the pouring down rain with a chainsaw that won't start up. Like, all of those things that sometimes people complain about and they're like, oh, well, we have to go do this. You get to go do that. Right. You don't have to, you get to. And it isn't until you don't have it anymore that you realize how much you miss it.
Absolutely. Like
maybe it sucked when these people were alive and you bickered all the time or like, but once it's gone and you never get it back. And it's so much worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Miha, who I talked to yesterday, she was saying like in their religion, they have this, basically, it just seems like there are certain times of the year where you're kind of like forced to, like in her religion, like remember people, like remember those who have passed, which is, she's like, you know, it's so funny to be like, you're forced to. She's like, we do every day. Like, you don't need to. But in their religion, it's like a thing on the calendar and they do. And I was saying it's kind of nice. I think it's like, it basically checks you of like, don't get too comfortable of like, you're sad because people died, but people are going to continue to pass away. And it almost to me was like, it's a reminder of like, you are only here one time. So like, when you start to feel like those things of like, ugh, I gotta do this thing and I don't want to go, the drive's too long, whatever. It's like, but like that drive or that event might not ever happen again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's like quarterly, it's almost like to me, it was like a quarterly check-in on your, like, are you living your life the way you want to be doing that? Are you having those moments? Are you living the way you want to be living and being kind and whatever? And I actually was thinking about it today on my walk. So I was just like, that's like, I think what people who have experienced huge loss, it will forever in the back of our heads just be like, it could happen at any moment.
Yes. Yes.
Right. It's like,
it changes your perspective 100% of it. Like it changes your perspective of everything. Like I know this is kind of off topic, but I just got 2 new cats. And for the first couple days while they were adjusting they were peeing and pooping everywhere. And it's like, yes, I'm upset about that and I have to clean this up, but is it the end of the world? No, I'm fine. It changes grief and losing people. It changes what is important to you. It changes the severity of minor situations. Or absolutely. If you thought it was going to be a major situation, you're like, you know what? That doesn't even matter. Oh, well.
Literally. It's so true. I put my house like kind of together before I leave, being like, never know what's going to happen. But even like the other day, I went to Pep Boys to like get my car inspected and they like weren't ready and they weren't going to like have my car in time. And I was like, okay, there are 2 ways this could go. I could be annoyed the rest of my day. But like, anytime I feel like that, I'm just like, take a deep breath because this is actually so non-important. Everyone is safe. Nothing chaotic is happening. So, like, we're not gonna let this take us to another level because we know what's worth that. And it's never the slight inconvenience in the day.
No, exactly what you were saying about you clean your place like before you leave. I would say for the first year and a half, I was so caught up in the thought of is leaving my apartment, is what I'm about to go do worth me not coming back for? I struggle. I know that's not really healthy, but I struggled with that a lot.
It's so valid,
And
though.
so there would be times where, of course, like I had food in the pantry, but it's, I'm not hungry for that right now. But so I was gonna like go to McDonald's because I wanted comfort food. And I would grab my purse, I would put on my slippers, and I had my keys, and I would go out to my car. Or sometimes I wouldn't even make it to my car. And I just couldn't bring myself to get in the car and to go out on the road because I'm like, is this worth me getting T-boned or rear-ended? Is this worth me dying over? And I'd realize that nope, it's not. So then I wouldn't eat and I'd go back in my apartment and I would just sit there. And
Yeah, I mean, I think that's so valid. It's also very valid in the circumstances that you were in. You know what I mean? Like, that's also like traumatic in itself, like the whole car of it all.
oh, for
You know what I mean?
sure.
Like, that's,
Yeah.
yeah. So, like, yes, absolutely. And also, yes to the like, is this fucking worth it? But like, I can't imagine having to be in your shoes to like get in a car. I can't even go, like, I ride my bike past the hospital where my mom was, and I like some days I'm fine, and some days I'm like a hot mess, and that's just like walking past it.
Yeah.
So I don't have to physically do it myself or go inside. So, like, that's also, I think, very reflective of your trauma.
Yeah, I definitely,
So.
for that first year, year and a half, I struggled a lot with PTSD, which I think is an interesting concept and an interesting thing that I was diagnosed with when I wasn't actually physically there. And sometimes I feel guilty about that. Because there's people, for example, that comes to mind, like our army and veterans, like our soldiers, and people who have what I would consider is like, real PTSD, physically being somewhere. I struggle with that diagnosis of like, I wasn't actually there, but the nightmares that I had were of me in the car with my parents. And I had those for the first month. I had it almost every night. And then that affected me for the first like year, year and a half of me like waking up and seeing my bloodied parents and seeing my brother stuck. Like, because I went to trial and I saw the videos and the crime scene footage. Like, I've seen my parents. I've seen everything. And so it's almost like I feel like it's like secondhand PTSD, but because my brain made me live it every night when I went to bed, that's where those thoughts and feelings came from of like, is getting in the car worth it? And I'm so hyper aware every time I drive. Like, I'm a good driver and I was before, but you just have to be so absolutely aware of everybody else on the road too.
Yeah,
And it's
absolutely.
really weird and interesting the feelings that we come up with and the feelings of when they come up. Sometimes it can be difficult, it can be interesting, it'd be like, oh, that's a new one. But they're all valid.
Yes. All everything always. Like,
Everything
even if you're
always
like, it's
100%.
all your feelings are valid ever, period. Like, there's always a reason your brain, your body is feeling some sort of way, even if like one piece can't put it together. Like, sometimes your brain is one way and your body's feeling something different and they're just not on the same page. But like, there's a reason for whatever you're feeling in any given day, even not in grief.
Something that I've come up, not that I've come up with it, but something that I have come to the realization of this past month as I've entered my first relationship, my with my new words, something that I've Sorry. Something that I've come to the realization of with my first relationship with my boyfriend now is it may not be reality, like actual reality, but it's my reality. And you never stop growing is what I've come to understand as well, because you're gonna have new experiences that have new thoughts and feelings. And now that this new person has entered my life, I have to actually explain what I'm going through. Of like, they don't understand what's happening because they're only fresh and new to my life, not knowing me before, not knowing me during, but they only knew me after. And so sometimes I'm like, you know what? I understand that's not reality right now, but it's my reality.
Absolutely.
This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm struggling with.
Yeah, and being clear and communicative is one, it's hard, but it's so important for someone to be like, oh, she's just like having a moment, and like, I will be here when the moment is done. I will do what I can to help assist in said moment. But like, I can't imagine what that's like for her. You know, like, again, it's the listening in the world that it's like, if someone's listening and they're like, okay, what can I do in this moment? It's like, just be there. And it's also like, you know, it is your reality, but like, be with me or don't in my reality. Like, this is it. Like, I haven't really had to articulate to many people, especially people that I'm like trying to formulate like a relationship with yet, where I'm like, oh, you don't know that my parents are both dead. And that's got to be interesting to have to like articulate, or like even just articulate, like, you know, all of the legal stuff that came with it and how that affected you. Like, if he wasn't around for all of that or only some of that, it's hard to put the weight on it for some people, but I also feel like people get it.
It's hard to be like, so when do I share this? At what point do I share with this person? I'm traumatized. I come with a lot of baggage. At what point do I share these things? But I mean, specifically in my situation, he was like, so what do your parents do? I'm like, they're dead. So that we got that out of the way quite quickly, like a week in. But I think, being honest with somebody is definitely difficult because that means you have to be honest with yourself first. And that's what's most difficult. Like I have to be honest with my own emotions, with my own thoughts, with my own feelings. And I think that's what just as humans, like I don't know, like whether you're grieving or not, just being honest with yourself and what you're struggling with. Your struggles are your struggles. There's no point in comparing with other people. If you're struggling with it, you're struggling with it. Whether that's down here, up here, that doesn't matter. What's hard for you is hard.
Absolutely. I have been saying this like every day this week. I've said it, I'm like, your vulnerability is your superpower. And if someone can't handle the vulnerability, then like, they have a lot of growing to do as a human being, right? Like, if someone says to you, whether you've known them for 10 minutes or whatever, this is what happened to me in my life, and your reaction is like, oh my God, I can't believe that they shared that. Like, that's, be better. Like, receive what someone is telling you about, like, the empathy of it all. You know, like, that's the vulnerability that you have really is a superpower. And, you know, I think that translates into, I think we're both empaths, and it's probably also because of the lives we have lived now, of the perspective that we have, and just like, there is so much going on in the world. There's just certain things that are so worth it, and then certain things that aren't. But I think in sharing your story, my story, sharing with the internet, we don't even realize it, that like, people are responding to it. Like, that's the only reason I have this podcast. I would have never started the podcast if you're, where oddly enough, my mom died and I had the gut instinct that I was like, I'm gonna write a book. It was like, honestly, on the night that she died, it was very weird. It's like the weirdest thought to have. But I only have this because so many people are like, when you talk about it's like, you know, I would have never thought XYZ about estate matters, or, you know, you're just like, you're touching people and you don't even realize it, whatever. And I think it's true. It's like if there's a relatable thing, there's a connection that also just like has to start happening.
Yeah, I've gotten a
So your
lot of comments.
vulnerability is your superpower.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of comments like that, and that's the reason why I do that. I have kept posting after like the first year. Like it was for very selfish reasons that I was like, I need support and I need to connect with people for me to get me through this.
Right,
But
it's like a verbal processing.
then it turned into so many people commenting like, you are helping me and it's okay to cry. I think the biggest comment that I get is, it's okay to still be crying after 6 months or after a year. Like, there is absolutely no timeline to grief. I personally don't care if a psychologist has written a book. I don't care if there's science behind it. There is no timeline to grief.
No.
Like you were mentioning and referring to, like a volume knob, and it's the intensity going up and down. Like, that is never going away. And my opinion is something like these books of like the stages of grief. And then I think that puts out that there's a linear way to grieve and that you're gonna go through step one and never return to it. Then you're gonna go to step two and never return to it. You are going to experience all five steps. Sorry to say this, but like for the rest of your life. And that's the reality that people don't really acknowledge all that often, I don't think.
Yeah, and simultaneously, it's like there are five stages and you're feeling them all at one time.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know, I'm like, it literally could be the mega step, and like that's what you're feeling that day. And yeah, I mean, I think that that's all like, I don't even know where that started. Of just like, you know, we're human, we like to analyze, we like to have like rules, logistics, whatever, but it is so negative, I think. Like, I feel like we should just be like, hey guys, it's okay to talk about your sadness. And there is a verbal processing that is so good. And we, you know, we found TikTok, we found Instagram. Some people, you know, people go to therapy to almost do the same thing. We're
Yeah.
doing it with a camera because sometimes it's also just nice to like say it, get it out, and then like you feel a little more free. I'm like, I don't know if like recognizing that I'm in the anger phase is like gonna make me feel any
No,
different.
so I love that you brought that up there for a second too. Like I went to grief counseling and I went to a psychologist, and because like it was a lot happening. I had just turned 22 at the time, and it was just way too much for me to comprehend to take care of my mom, my dad, my brother was also in the car, take care of my brother. I was going to school. I had to take care of my parents' house, my dad, my brother's house. Like, the scope of which I had to take on at the time was way more than anybody could comprehend. But I do still highly recommend going to therapy, but I'm just speaking from personal opinion that after about a year, it just became monotonous and I'm not growing anymore. And it was obviously it's scheduled. Well, I can't schedule my feelings. And so that's where some people turn to journaling or something, but I don't like to sit down with a book and journal. And so that is also where I started turning to TikTok, and some people will turn to other social medias, but I liked, okay, I'm feeling this feeling in the moment. I'm gonna hit record, and a lot of people in the beginning and sometimes now as well, but they're like, why film yourself when you're crying? Like, this is just clout chasing. It's like, no, this is my therapy session right now. Either accept
It's
it or leave
free
off.
therapy.
It's free therapy. Yeah, and obviously I gained a following because people need to see genuity, genuine
Genuine
genuity,
authenticity. Off,
authenticity.
yeah.
People need to see authenticity.
Yes.
And yeah, you can't schedule when you have your feelings. So that's why I like doing videos. I can just
Yeah.
record when I feel
I'm
like
with
it.
you. I'm totally with you. I went to therapy a few times and I felt like the girl like didn't know how to help me. Like we talked about it. We talked about both scenarios, but it, I don't, I think like I feel, and this would be like such an interesting conversation of like, I feel like grief counseling and therapy, like you can't fix someone's grief.
No.
I guess is what I'm getting at, of like, I felt like the therapist that I saw it was like, she wanted me to like almost do homework. And I'm like, but what homework are we doing? My mom is dead. And she was taken out in a really like horrible way where she should have like not, that should have never happened. So what are we fixing in therapy besides like, but I think it's because so many people have a hard time talking and verbalizing and processing that therapy for many people is very helpful when it comes to grief. I felt like I was already on TikTok. I was writing really freely that I got to therapy. I was like, okay, now we're gonna, I don't know what's gonna happen. And I was like, almost like, keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, okay, so I can't relive the story every time I come in here because it's gonna be the same story. It's not like,
Yeah, that's why I said
you know,
keep
I tried this
trying.
communication style this time and it changed. Like, there's not that conversation with grief. It's very interesting that you're saying that because I kind of felt the same thing. I was just like, I don't know if she feels like she can help me because there's nothing to help. It's just like, feel your feelings, get it out in whatever medium you can, whether that's writing, TikTok, actual therapy, what is it, EDMR, which I do think I want to try, to make you feel less griefy in the moment, and then it'll probably come back the next day, and that's okay. And if it doesn't, that's cool too.
One of the things that I entered a therapy program which had weekly one-on-ones, but then through that same facility, they had group therapy sessions. I think those are two vastly different ways to approach therapy, which can be helpful. And honestly, like I said, the one-on-one was definitely monotonous, which after a certain point, like you said, like, what are we fixing here? Like, you can't bring back my parents. And it became monotonous. But I continued to go to her for a little bit because I liked the group therapy. And one of the ones that I specifically went to was helping low self-esteem, which I understand doesn't seem like it would make sense after like losing my parents, but you have to understand that I felt like such a kid. Yes, I was 22, I was an adult, but I felt like a kid, and that's okay. But
You are the child.
I was a
That's the thing. Even
child.
when someone's parents die and they're, you know, in their 60s and their parents was and they're still the child. Like, that's totally valid. Even though, like, 22, also 22 is insanely young to go through what you went through.
But I went through like a huge identity crisis because I had yet to really step out on my own. I had yet to see who I was as a person. I came to the realization, and I'm not like, maybe this is just how it is when you have a good relationship with your parents, but like everything I did was a conversation with my parents. Everything that I did was to make them happy, and everything that I did was to get their approval. And I'm not saying that in a bad way at all. It's just I came to the realization that as an empath, as a people pleaser, that's just who I was. And when I didn't have that anymore, I was left with, well, what do I do now? And so my self-esteem just plummeted because I didn't know who I was without them. I had them my entire life, and it's not like I lost one at a time. I lost both in the same second. And from that, I also lost some, the emotional connection with some other family members. So for some of the people that you would turn to when you lose your parents in the same second, I no longer had them either. And like I said, I was away at college during COVID. I was alone. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was doing anymore. My world had turned upside down. And so my point in saying all this is there's different kinds of therapy versus just like going to somebody one-on-one. There's tons of programs out there that can help different aspects of your life. And even though after a certain point it no longer became helpful for you or I still think it'd be helpful for some people to go try it. And not just try it once, try it for a month, see how it goes, see what resources they have for group or some, I know there were tons of other ones where it was like music therapy, art therapy. There's so many different kinds of therapies that if one doesn't work for you, try a different one. If one person doesn't work for you, try a different person.
Right. No, it's so true. And I find that this podcast for me is like my group therapy. Like
Yeah.
I have the conversation with all different people all the time, and it's like a version of, group therapy to the point where like I put in like a Philadelphia group of like, I have this podcast, whatever, and this girl who owns a coffee shop, funny enough, called like Sunday Girl, was like, if you ever want to have an event here, like come here. And I was like, that'd be kind of fun to just be like the grieving girls are coming out to Sunday
Yeah.
Girl for coffee. And I was like, not me like slowly becoming this like group leader of grievers where I'm like, I am not certified. I am just living an experience.
No, but it's
But
true
there is also
though.
power in that.
It's very
But it's
true.
just talking to other grievers, it does help. Or other people who are like, my grief from 10 years ago has like spiraled into my romantic relationships or, having familial relationships. And like you said, like affecting other places in your life
It
is
does.
very,
It affects you. It affects every aspect of your life, whether you realize it now or 10 years down the road. It's
right.
like a domino effect, and it affects everything.
Yeah. And to which I say, it also, circling back to the holidays, affects your holidays.
I know we've kind
No.
of bounced all over the place.
But it's okay because anybody listening is here for a reason, and it's so important to just like freely have the conversation because, like, who knows? Maybe they wanted to hear about Christmas cookies, or maybe they're also like, yeah, I've never tried group therapy. I will try that now. So I don't mind that we bounced all over the place because it's all important information.
It is, yeah.
And I'm sure I'll ask you back for another season at some point because we have so much to chat
I know we
about.
could talk forever, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, especially when you find somebody you're like, oh, yes, we are on the same vibe. And
Because you understand. Like
we've just lived certain,
to a certain
right.
extent.
Right. There is a similar, again, the intensity of the loss and where those things fall. Like, absolutely. So, I guess to wrap up this episode, I think what you really just, like, reiterated for everyone is like, it's okay to have your feelings, honor your feelings, and do what you need to do. I think the holidays for any grieving person, no one's gonna go through them and be like, oh yeah, they're not bad. Right? Like maybe when you get 20 years down the line and you've gone through those like really rough years, you can be like, they're not as bad now as they used to be. But like again, my dad's been dead for 20 years and I still find it hard to get through holidays without him, especially now without my mom. It's like almost like the re-grief. So, it's just like it's okay to feel your feelings. It's okay to miss your people. They're not going to be easy, and you have to do what's going to make you feel more comfortable while you get through them. And if, that's making cookies and like having what you feel is like your mom in the space, that's totally cool. And if it's me on my couch last year eating Chinese food and with total darkness and acting like it was a random day off, that's cool too.
It is. I think this time of year is especially the time to be selfish and do what you need to do to get through it.
Yeah,
Don't do
absolutely.
it for other people, 'cause that's not gonna make you happy. That's not necessarily gonna make them happy. 'Cause no one can keep a smiley, happy face the entire time.
Right.
And like I said earlier, if you're having to put on that face for somebody, then obviously there's not a lot of honesty going on there in the first place, which I have struggled with. I'm not saying that I haven't. Like, there's, like I said, with losing some relationships with family members, it is a secondary grief when you lose people that are still alive. And I actually had one of them reach out today and tell me happy Halloween. And I'm sure they'll reach out on Thanksgiving and Christmas as well. And it's hard because it's like, how many times do I want to keep putting my heart out there? just for it to get broken again.
Right.
And so this is a season of grieving people who have passed away, but also grieving people and memories, grieving people who are still here and memories that you wish you still had. It
Absolutely.
is definitely the season to be selfish and do what you need to do for you. Definitely a lot easier said than done because I didn't do that these past 2 years, but this year I'm selfish and I'm not going to go to things that I don't want to go to. And I'm only going to participate in the things that I want to because this is my life. This is your
We
life.
only get one. We only get
We
one.
only get one. And
Absolutely.
like we said, the theme of this episode is you'd never know. And
Literally, you
like
never know.
not even tomorrow's never promised, but today's not promised, so you might as well just do it for you.
Yeah, I think you just named your episode. I think it's going to be Tis the Season to Be Selfish.
Yeah, oh that's so
That's
good.
it. That's the episode because it's true. You gotta put yourself first.
You have to.
Well, Ashley, it's been amazing chatting with you for real, real. I feel like you've been my friend for years,
Yeah, so
TBH.
I've noticed that too with other people that I've met on TikTok and like we talk like FaceTime or something or go live together. And it's like, I feel like I've known you for a long time, but this is the first time meeting.
Like, the internet is a crazy place, but it's also a
It is.
great
It's
place.
it can be like a not so hot place, but I think the things that it can do for people to connect with one another is phenomenal. I think this is one of the best things that the internet and social media can do for people who feel alone, who are grieving, who are struggling. It connects people with those outside of your immediate family circle or your town or your local resources. Because, like you said earlier, this has been like almost an hour of a grief therapy session with somebody who doesn't have a degree, but somebody who gets it.
There are other people out there. I always say, like, grief is the loneliest journey, and I think one of the most infuriating things is like when people are like, "I understand."
No, you don't.
I'm like, you might understand the feeling of grief, but it's the worst thing to say to someone. But the point of that being, there are people out there who have similar feelings or similar loss, or can understand the sudden or can understand the anticipatory grief.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're listening or watching on YouTube and you're like, "I have never even taken a deep dive into grief talk," I think do it. You might
What are
even
you
just
gonna
watch a
lose?
video where you feel right, like, or you might just watch a video that clicks. So, I'm happy that TikTok brought us, together,
Me too.
because I always enjoy seeing what you share, and I'm glad that we ha got to have this conversation. And just know that I often think about you and your scenario when you do post, because it's really horrible, and you are doing something really touching and moving. Again, your vulnerability is your superpower, and like you should, just give yourself a pat on the back, because you could have gone totally the opposite way. And
Yep.
out of this is like, so it's hard sometimes to like see the light and see all that crap, but like there is something coming out of this that's bigger than you, I think. So just keep doing what you're doing, girlfriend.
Thank you.
And you have a friend, you got a friend in Philadelphia if you ever come visit.
Thank you so much.
So thanks for joining.
Of
I will let
course.
you go. I'm sure you're ready for it's dinner time. It's 6 o'clock over there. I'm getting ready for my snack and bedtime.
Well,
So,
you have a
all
good
right,
evening.
everybody. Yeah, you too. And we'll chat soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to be back.
Beautiful. All
Yeah.
right. Bye, everybody who's listening.
Bye.